This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Geekscapists. How are you doing? I'm Jonathan Lunden, your host, filmmaker, writer, storyteller. I've worked in movies, video games, comic books, some TV. And I got to tell you, ever since I was a little kid reading comic books on the stairs, I have been addicted to pop culture. And as an adult, well, that turns itself into Geekscape. I was telling somebody this the other day. I was telling them the story that I really thought that I was going to go into radio. I went to undergrad, and my friend Kevin, who's been on an old Geekscape episode with me, he and I jumped right into college radio. That was our passion. We wanted to be on the airwaves. We wanted to interview bands. Music was what we were all about. And we've had lots of musicians on Geekscape. And somewhere along the lines of doing college radio, knowing enough bands, shooting little funny short films, obviously this is before cameras were on phones, by a few years, we got into film. And then I went to film school, and then I came out here, but I never lost that love of interviewing people, hearing their stories, sharing our own stories, possibly collaborating, as we've done with many of the prior Geekscape guests, and really the main thing, bringing their stories and everything that they're working on creatively to you, which is such a passion to me. And I have got a really, really great episode today. I've got the CEO and founder of Immortal Studios, Pei Huan Shao. He's going to be telling you all about, I'm going to get this right, I think, Wushou. And that is like, if you've watched Big Trouble, Little China, and I know I'm being generically Western right now, but if you've watched, what's the beautiful film, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where you have martial arts, but it's done on such a fantastical, you know, we're talking like Zoo Warriors, like such a fantastical stage, then you have some familiarity with this genre. But it is very, very old. And maybe it needs a modernized twist. And that's what Immortal Studios is all about. And we're going to be talking to Pei Huan very soon. I got to tell you, Geekscapists, I'm like the schedule's wonky. Y'all didn't get an episode last week. It's all good. I think you survived. We had a fantastic episode. If you're watching this live on Facebook, Twitch, and what else are we on? Facebook, Twitch. Oh, yeah. YouTube. Then you maybe saw yesterday's episode, which was awesome. Lee Romare, who does a bunch of like animatronics and creature effects. He's an amazing artist. Recreated the Five Nights at Freddy's. I guess let's just call them monsters because that's what they are. And that was a fun episode. And we've just had such an amazing long list of friends come and join us. Some are old friends, some are new friends. But I found out today, and this is a little serious, but if we're talking kung fu, if we're talking action, we're talking stunts, the seriousness is that our good friend Carl Cirofolio, who you should know, he's actually has a GoFundMe going on right now because during the pandemic, he went into surgery. He had pneumonia, and then the surgeries started to reveal things. And I think physically, after decades of stunt work, his body started showing signs of just wear and tear. And Geekscape, as I tell you this, and you're like, wait, Carl Cirofolio, how do I know this name? Well, he's been on Geekscape. He was the original thing in Roger Corman's Fantastic Four. And I loved that episode where Carl was instrumental, along with Mark Sykes, of putting together the original cast of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four. It hasn't been done anywhere else. I don't think it's ever been done at a convention, but it's been done here on Geekscape. And Carl was a big part of that. For you geeks, Carl was also Kevin Smith's stunt double as Blunt Man when he goes to the wall in Mallrats and he swings on that rope. That's Carl. If you're a fan of The Dark Knight, a lot of the driving in that movie, Carl. If you're a fan of Ryan Gosling in that movie, Drive, a lot of that driving is the team that Carl put together, and some of it's Carl. So Carl's been a big part of pop culture. He's been a big part of Geekscape. He's been a dear friend to me ever since my friend James Liu introduced me to him. And the guy just has the biggest heart. And I found out today that, and I kind of kicked myself because he's been dealing with this issue for a bit over a year, a couple of years actually, since the pandemic. And I just found out about his status and his GoFundMe now. So Geekscapist, I'm going to be sharing that stuff on our socials. If you can share, if you can donate, whatever you can do to help Carl out, that's a bit of giving back. We have Geekscape guests all the time, and this podcast, I don't ask anything. I've never had a Patreon. I've put up t-shirts you can or cannot buy. I have done a ton through this show completely free, and we've done it since 2006. But when guests come on the show and they promote their stuff, all I ask is if you're listening to this and it sounds like something you're into, like Immortal Studios coming up, that you please check out their stuff. They're here to try and entertain you. And Carl has been a part of that multiple times in Geekscape's history. And now he actually needs some serious help. So his medical bills are climbing, and we got to step up for Carl. I mean, come on. Nowhere else has Roger Corman's Fantastic Four cast been collected after that movie kind of came out. I guess if you went to like a mid-90s comic convention and found it on a bootleg VHS. But it's still the best Fantastic Four movie and the one that's most true to Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's creation. And Carl was a big part of that. He was the Thing, and he helped us put together the cast reunion here on Geekscape. So please go to GoFundMe, search for Carl's GoFundMe, and I'm going to be sharing it on social. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. All right, Geekscapers, I think that's everything we got to talk about here. We've got some great episodes coming up. Subscribe, share if you want, if you're enjoying your Geekscape. But I know I got Pei Juan waiting, so let's get down to business and get to Geekscaping. All right, Geekscapists, let's get this thing going. Some of y'all are already on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook, like our friend Dina, who says, all right, woo, let's do this. And she also says, big fan, hand pink waving. Hi, Dina. I don't know what's going on there, but I dig the enthusiasm. Speaking of enthusiasm, we got Pei Juan Hsiao here. He is, again, the CEO, founder of Immortal Studios. And when this came across my desk, I was immediately in as far as having Pei Juan on the show as my guest. And then as I started researching, I was like, oh, we got some people in common. And so I'm going to spring those on them right now. Pei Juan, woo-hoo! How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Jonathan. Hey, by the way, major shout out. I love your references.
What do you mean?
Big Trouble in Little China.
Crouching Tiger.
Two Warriors. Like that was, you won my respect. Look, I'm in these conversations a lot, but you drew two things that are so important to the genre, and I think undervalued.
Really?
Undervalued, underrespected. Look, because there's more contemporary things.
Sure.
Everything Everywhere All At Once is wuxia, by the way. Everything Everywhere All At Once. Shang-Chi.
Totally wuxia.
John Wick is wuxia. You talk to the creators.
Especially when you get into the mysticism.
Yeah. That's why we kind of created this interconnected world, because there's been so many different influences because Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan and Cobra Kai is also part of the family. And of course, The Last Airbender, Avatar, is Wuxia.
In a million ways. They recently shared updated cast photos because they're shooting that live action. Yes. And when I looked at these cast photos, no offense to the M. Night Shyamalan live action version, but it's like, Siri, show me spot perfect casting for something. And it is that live action Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
But the Zoom Warrior stuff
was totally disrespectful, you know, like.
It was, and what troubled me is this, is that it felt like a Hollywood casting choice to bring on an Asian director, but then cast mainly white actors.
Yeah.
And the whole argument of like, oh, but you know, we want this to be a commercial success. I'll tell you what made a lot more money that exact same summer was Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith in the remake of The Karate Kid. And
no, like, I think they disrespect the audience when they assume that pop cultural audiences only choose a certain type of people, because I think pop cultural audiences are actually, we value authenticity and daringness and originality and diversity. But back to how we started the conversation. Mad respect. Like when we talked about Big Trouble in Little China, but Zoo Warrior, oh my God.
It's beautiful.
I have here in my Wuxia library, actually, the original series of Zoo Warriors. So this is like so OG that did inspire the entire generation, my father included.
Isn't the Zoo Warriors, though, the stuff... I mean, and keep in mind, like, John Carpenter straight up will tell you that Zoo Warriors was the main influence for Big Trouble in Little China, but that's 60s, 70s, and this is when
the books came out in the 20s.
Much earlier, right? Yeah. And
books came out in the 20s and defined a whole generation, and my father read it when he was a young man, and it inspired him to write Chronicles of the Immortal Swordsman. So he was like the continuity piece when he wrote it in the 70s.
That was his the like pillar. Spider-Man to him.
Yes. That became the pillar of our company. Ergo, we're named Immortal Studios. And the book that, you know, I'm usually not a writer. I am a creator. That led me to write Chronicles of the Immortal Swordsman, which is a big part of the Immortal Storyverse. And I think it's, let me get the right... It's right
somewhere.
Here.
If you're this watching is, this live, Geekscape
is this is the Bernard Chain cover of Chronicles of the Immortal Swordsman, right here.
Well, that was one of the surprises I was going to spring on you, is being friends with Bernard Chain.
And that was the thing.
Bernard I'll awesome. Buy anything that he draws.
Yes.
And the Monkey Prince stuff that he was doing at DC, he did an X-Men tie-in book in the Krakoa era there for a bit, Geekscape is. Bernard Chang's one of my favorite artists. He's one of the nicest guys. Yes. Dude is a straight up baller on the basketball court too. I bet he is still.
You wouldn't think so.
College. And, no, dude is a straight up baller.
It's cool as hell. Like, have you seen him walk around with his little birds in his backpack? I mean, the guy is an original. I have mad respect and love for the guy.
But the Zoo Warrior stuff was a lot of what I watched in college. And Big Trouble in Little China was kind of like the gateway drug to that world. And then when you get into like the Shaw Brothers stuff, of course, and then in college, you just start mainlining stuff like mainly fight movies like The Street Fighter, because you got there from Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. But as a comic book nerd and somebody who likes the fantastic, when you start mainlining that Zoo Warrior stuff, when you start really getting into the Wuxia stuff, when I was a senior and Big Trouble and we had Crouching Tiger and Hidden Dragon come out, that movie was so beautiful. And
those were different. They're somewhat different. And this is why I created the interconnected, we call it the interconnected storyverse, because you were just in our conversation right now, you talked about Zoo Warrior as a mainlining and also kind of the fantasticness, because we're talking about immortal beings. They're doing super fantastical things.
Well, they're gods in a sense, and maybe they represent like pieces of nature,
whatever
right?
You want to call it.
Sure.
As opposed to like the superhumans you see in like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, because they're different.
And I wanted to talk to you about that because say like
and then the Monkey King, which you referenced.
Well, that's
and then we talked about Cobra Kai and Bruce Lee. So
But these are four pillars. You talk about them in a sense of four pillars. But are they tiers or are they pillars? Because it feels like these are a hierarchy from the real world up to the religious or the spiritual.
The spiritual or the metaphysical world.
But you call them pillars.
We call them pillars because our perspective is that they're not fantastical worlds, that they actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
I'm not going to doubt you.
As somebody who has traveled the world a little bit, I actually did get the chance to go into the ancient mountains of the Himalayas, the ancient mountains of China, and people who've kind of followed my career would know that I've actually had the opportunity to be inside, to be a member of the Shaolin Temple, to be inside these fabled places where kind of those legends are created. I can say with certainty that there are extraordinary people doing things like that metaphysically as we speak. So our beginning thesis is that, hey, it's about time that we bring some of that reality to it. It's not, in certain respects, the life is stranger than fiction, or it can be.
Peiwan, I've heard stories, and there's so many things I want to ask you. Yeah. But people like who are into yoga will claim that things, once you get to a certain level in your practice, mm-hmm. levitation is not beyond your reach.
Levitation is actually a known phenomenon to exist within yogic orders. And the big hint is this: look, we're about to stage an. I know you're in LA.
Yeah. You're talking about this event?
Yeah.
On Sunday?
Immortal Shaolin, the past, present, and future of Kung Fu, where the abbot of the Shaolin Temple and his warrior monks are actually flying out. So we've just officially partnered. The origin story of Shaolin, which is considered the birthplace of Kung Fu, is actually yogic. People don't know this because there was an Indian monk named Bodhidharma who traveled from India to China, and Shaolin spawned is when Bodhidharma vibed with the locals at the Shaolin Temple, and what created was consciousness and spirituality and yogic powers with martial movements and meditation stillness. When these things fused, this is the birthplace of the mythology of Kung Fu. So extraordinary Kung Fu is yogic. And of course, yoga literally means union, right? So the highest ideals are mind and body become one.
But
tangible and intangible become one. So that is like the founding mythology of Kung Fu, is that, yes, it's actually yogic. And that's why it's, when people are talking about Kung Fu, we're not really talking about MMA fighting. We're not talking about boxing. There's a level of mysticism. There's an acceptance or a love of the kind of the extraordinary possibilities that come with it. So I think, you know, it's really this entire backdrop and this philosophy, the romanticism, the real empowerment, and I think the in-depth philosophy that's been worked out over thousands of years, expressed in a really fun, engaging way, like Avatar: The Last Airbender. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of there. We're featuring, by the way, Kisu, who's the founding inspirer of The Last Airbender, on our event next Sunday. So we'll have a chance to talk about these things. Is that this is the stuff that I believe is going to form the next global sense of pop culture. And look, I've been a lover of Marvel and DC. God knows I've given them so much time and so much money and so much energy and so much love, and I don't regret it. But come on, enough is enough.
Yeah, and I think that when you walk into a Barnes & Noble and you see that Marvel and DC and their graphic novels have one shelf versus the amount of manga
and anime, yeah,
that get the shelves, it's just not even close. They have entire rows.
You talk to people who are the younger generation. You know, I'm a father, and my daughter's kind of become my teacher, and through her eyes, and I got to know and have many conversations at conventions and centers. Like, everybody's looking for that next thing, and I'm really excited to be on your show today, Jonathan, because we're I haven't said this before, but now that, because up until now we've released our titles in our pillars one by one, you know, the Adept with Charlie Stickney, Tasha Hui, with Li Yishan on art. Like, this is the story of the grounded Kung Fu. This is where Shaolin Kung Fu, as we know, this is where Cobra Kai would be. Mm-hmm. You go upper level, you have Jen Troy, who's doing Assassin G, who's originally written by my father. So this is the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon of it all. People are starting to float.
Yeah, they're using the wind. They're in tune with stuff.
This is where, of course, we mentioned Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. This is where Dragon Gate Inn. This is where a lot of the Shaw brothers would live. And then you go up one, and you talked about it, Zoo Warriors, where
guys,
Big Trouble.
You got to watch Zoo Warriors.
And a modern
if you don't know Zoo Warriors, you got to see it. Yeah.
So this, we're talking about like lightning bolts, flying swords, people who've cultivated their chi to a level to be semi-immortals. And I think a modern example of this would be comparable to like the Matrix would be kind of in this world. And then one step beyond it. So this is where Chronicles of the Immortal Swordsman live. And then we go upper level one, and we talked about the gods. We talked about the various planets.
The Monkey King.
The Monkey King. So this is where Fa Sheng lives. So we launched these four pillars one by one. We haven't had a chance to talk about what does it really mean. You know, the Easter eggs connecting these various stories, and the fact that we've chosen LA as the backdrop, believe it or not. So it's about modernizing these ideas here in the City of Angels.
And these are comic books. Again, I want to reiterate to Geekscape, but also Immortal doesn't just do comic books. Y'all do some media. Y'all do kind of a transmedia model. If that term is still something that we use.
Yes. I mean, we made a lifelong commitment to comics just because it's amazing. It's deep, it's sophisticated, it's nuanced, it's also faster and cheaper and easier to make than films. You can be unfiltered. You can take real risks. So we're going to continue to do that. We've now have multiple issues. All the four pillars are out. And with this upcoming campaign, we're calling Turning the Page. We're releasing all new content for all of these titles. So we're now pulling it back, saying, hey, our level of ambition is not, we love telling these stories, but we're ready to tell people, to say, share a lot more about why this world exists and how they're interconnected and how this is a natural evolution of, I think, I don't even use the word superheroes because I think I've grown tired to it.
It's an American term. Like superheroes, it's Western in the sense that superheroes are an extension of the Greek myths and the American tall tale. And I think that's a very Western term as a superhero. And they wrap themselves in flags. They wrap themselves in some form of you know, iconography that has a place in the Western world. And so I don't think it applies here. I think when you talk about Kung Fu and Shaolin, I think you're talking about something that is a little bit more ethereal, a little something.
Yeah, more ethereal. I would say more consciousness.
Maybe even internal.
More internal, but of course it expresses itself in a different way. And I think superheroes is kind of anything goes.
Sure. Yeah.
And I love it also, by the way. Again, I just want to emphasize, I
love it too.
The problem with the superheroes is just that everything has its time and a place, but I'm just kind of a little bit tired of the contrived superheroes. I'm tired of another leotard. And ultimately, I feel like it's kind of a ultimately, as a fan, as someone who read these books and these comic books, I think we all know that there's a lot of wish fulfillment. We read about people doing extraordinary things and doing amazing feats that we want in our own lives. Yes. But I think the promise that superheroes is like, hey, look, are you hoping to be bitten by a radioactive spider, or do you want to have a comet fall on your head and then turn you into some kind of thing, or you want to be have this technological accident. So those things are not going to happen. We know that. So in a way, then, well, the promise of superheroes is tantalizing. It's not realizable. Going back to our earlier conversation, we talked about yoga, we talked about Shaolin, we talked about the inner thing. Well, those things are actually real things that we can, that actually have been proven and refined. And now that science knows that mindfulness actually works, you know, through quantum physics and quantum mechanics, we actually know, yes, the organizing principle of the universe is mind.
Yeah.
These things actually work. So the promise of following these paths to become our real heroes is the cool stuff that we're exposing between the pages of the Immortal Storyverse.
And I think that creating your own reality and having the awareness, and guys, it's not easy, Geekscape. Awareness is something you're constantly battling the outside world for. But when I hear the stories of a yogi levitating, I got to admit, Pehuan, like the cynic in me is like, gotta see it to believe it and this and that. But you're saying that you've been in these Shaolin temples. You've seen some of these superhuman feats.
Yes.
And I think as like a tiny segue, when you're talking about things to, you know, about awareness and how you have a control over your own reality through your mind in creating your own abilities, Geekscapist, Immortal Studios is starting to launch another Kickstarter, and you want to be on the launch list. So if you go to Kickstarter and you look for Immortal Studios, they are creating their own reality in the sense of this comic book line. And talk to me about the Kickstarter, because I know it's a kind of a commercialization version of what we're talking about, creating your own reality. But money don't grow on trees, Pehuan. Like, we got to find a way to make these comics and share these stories with people.
In starting this, we actually had offers from, you know, some established companies that wanted to partner with us, wanted to support us. And of course, the exchange is that, yes, in exchange for whatever support, they wanted the control and own us.
Absolutely.
Which is not part of the plan, because, you know, we are a diehard independent company. We wanted to be associated with people who actually give a damn and who are committed. So we literally built our company from our first project called The Adept. We had this amazing opportunity to partner with Charlie Stickney, who collaborated with us on creating The Adept. And we became a, it was because of people's support and belief and excitement for us that rocketed our first issue to, I think, 0.1 percentile of performance on Kickstarter for single issues.
That's pretty
awesome. And we've relied on Kickstarter to literally help us make the content.
And how, what are the, I mean, cause I'm somebody who's flirting with the idea of starting a Kickstarter specifically for comics. And they're Geekscape related comics as well. They're characters that have come out of Geekscape.
Right.
You know, what are the hurdles to doing something like this? Cause let's say you get this thing in on Kickstarter and it's successful as it has been,
yes,
you're mailing these things out to people in print, or they're getting digital copies, or they're getting special editions and this and that. But what about shelf space? Is that as important to you to get into the local comic book shops and things like that?
Yeah, it is important to us. Eventually it's important, but you know, that is also that's an important segment of kind of the geek economy, but it's not the only segment. So shelf space is important, but it's also not the only place. So, you know, and we just kind of basically put together as it's almost like a step-by-step distribution grid.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're not succeeding, and I look at Kickstarter, if you're not succeeding with people who believe in backing independent creators and they love originality, if you can't bring enough people through Kickstarter to be excited about what you're doing, you're not going to get shelf space, because obviously it's a very competitive landscape. Unless if your company has M or D or several of the other major companies in front of you, like, it's a major business proposition. So comic book stores are also business owners. They're going to give shelf space to things that have traction. And if for independent creators who are not selling out and who are kind of charting their own path, I think proving yourself or testing. I don't want to say proving because it's not that, you know, it's just like finding that fit is a really great step.
And talk to me about building it, because your first Kickstarter, when you guys did this, and I'm blatantly doing my own research live here on the podcast.
Hey, I'm happy. Look, this is how it started with us.
Yeah, talk to me about how it started with you, because your father was also a writer, and y'all, the Texan in me is coming out, but you also have a whole history of stories that are familiar in some cultures to lean on, and so you are creating modern versions, you know, contemporary versions of traditional stories in the same way. Like, I think on a Western audience, you would be doing something like a Hercules book, or you'd be doing something, maybe American version of something that would be out of the Tall Tales.
Well, but I didn't add my name to the list of Monkey King creators because you know, it seems like everybody is doing a version of Monkey King. So we're not doing anything like that. But my father, yes, was one of the top creators in his wuxia. He was my teacher. And when he passed away, I did inherit that seed, so to speak. But the adept was something I created because I thought it was important to prove it out on our own merits. And my father's creations all took place in ancient China, not modern day. And so we also are doing it in the English language as opposed to the Chinese language. So we're not going after his older fans, but that's not to say he has tremendous authenticity and ideas that are missing in today's, I think, Western made wuxia comics. That's, you know, where there isn't a whole lot of depth of understanding. And I think that, you know, is given us some unique things to work from. And this is where Chronicles of the Immortal Swordsman came from. This is where Assassin G came from. So yes, it's a mixture of those things, but we started with the Adept. When we started with the Adept, nobody knew there wasn't going to be anything else. And frankly, if the Adept didn't work, there would not have been anything else. It would have been Stillborn.
Why'd you start with the Adept? I mean, because a part of me, these ideas, some of the concepts are so heady and also unfamiliar, again, to a Western audience. And, and you're almost creating hurdles for yourself and putting these things in English and setting them outside of China. That being said, as you said, this is a necessary hurdle. This is something, this is an audience that you believe should be exposed to this material, should be exposed to these lessons. Why the Adept?
In a way, it's like my contribution to the fandom and pop culture here. I just got tired of people using Shaolin. You know, there's Shaolin this and Shaolin that, and you look at the art, you look at the ideas, like these people have no idea. They just kind of became really wedded to the idea of somebody kicking ass who knows a lot of Kung Fu, has a shaved head, and, you know, talks like Yoda, so to speak.
Yeah. But you're not talking about the Stephen Chow stuff. That is fun, but
Stephen Chow is like a true master. If you look at Shaolin Soccer, like, he got the right mixture of pop and authenticity, because amidst and behind all of those things, there's always something incredibly real. It's fun, but really authentic, real, and deeply emotional. So I think he's one of the great ones.
I worry that maybe...
Well, he's also from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
He's also from Hong Kong and not here. So in the Adept, and... You know, because of my association with Shaolin, I thought it was important to start with something that was Shaolin themed and related, because Shaolin, for people just joining us now, we talked a little bit about why Shaolin, because this is the birthplace of the mythology of Kung Fu. Since we are going in with this perspective of authenticity, and I believe that stories are transformative, we wanted to have an ode to the reality. You know, it's an ode to Shaolin as the kingpin, as the motherlode of a lot of these ideas in the mythology of Kung Fu, and that we have a young Asian American woman take us into this big landscape was a provocative idea. That was that. I also wanted to start not standing on my father's shoulders. I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to. It's not that I don't respect and love him. It's just that I wanted a contemporary sensibility that then we can go you know, and beyond. And we ended up taking four bites at the apple, you know, these four different pillars, each coming in at it from a different angle. We talked about The Adept. We talked about Chronicles. You know, Assassin G was my father's property. That was our fourth release. And this was actually his most well-known property because it was made into television four times.
Wow.
And
is in China.
This is in China. So
those audiences translate to the comic version told in English by Immortal Studios?
They heard about it, and we're, in fact, just yesterday I was talking about some distribution arrangements. I'm pulling back because going to China and Eastern audiences would be too simple, and frankly, we've chosen to double down into the Asian Americanness of it all, the East and the West meeting. We also love the modern components of it, so we wanted to prove ourselves here. Full stop.
That's a lot to chew. And you know what do I say to Greg who listens to the show? I made up Greg as an avatar for all the Geekscapists. What do I say to somebody who is an Asian American who's listening to Geekscape right now and is like, wait a minute, I like my Batman. I like my Spider-Man. I like my Marvel stuff. What does Immortal Studios offer them, right? And what's the accessibility to some of these different concepts?
Yeah. And by the way, I would say that I love them too. It's not
you can read both. Yeah.
There's some game. I read both and I like both, but all I'm saying is like when you're reading, like how many times have you read Batman and how many times do you need to read Batman? Like how many times do you want to see? We're now down to very subtleties.
I agree with you. I think that in Geekscapists, this is something that is it's mainly an American problem, Geekscapists, but when the Seduction of the Innocent was written by Wortham back in the 1940s, 50s, and it accused
comics. You are a literate man. I love that.
I love this stuff. But when we're talking about like coming out of McCarthyism and here in the States, the Comics Code Authority, that became a self-censorship tool to avoid the government coming in and saying, hey, we got to get rid of these comics. And immediately, Geekscapists, almost overnight, the comic book industry here in America lost all of its horror comics. It lost all of its romance comics, all of its crime comics. And you looked up at the American comic book landscape was strictly superhero comics. Yeah. And when you do that, imagine going to the movie theaters and all you get is Westerns. And as great as some of these Westerns are, and maybe it's Clint Eastwood, maybe it's, you know, the best Westerns ever made. It's the, you know, How the West Was Won. But you can't keep using the same genre.
Also, let's revisit the originality. I had a chance to really connect and work with Stan Lee and some of the earlier creators. Like,
and
let's
be clear. I want to talk to you about that too. But if you go to other countries, they don't have this problem. If you go to France, there are different types of books, and they have a rich graphic novel and comic book culture. There's a town in France that has complete, like, it's built around comic books down to the street signs. If you go to Japan, if you go to parts of Asia, if you go to India, they have different comic book genres. Americans are steeped solely in superheroes, and we did it to ourselves. And I think Immortal Studios and companies like yourselves are breaking it open.
No, we're turning the page. And by the way, I think Americans, younger Americans, are part of this evolution.
Well, the manga for sure, the One Punch Man,
You talk to older millennials on down; they don't need any convincing. They've been bored all along. It's just that their parents haven't listened.
You have a daughter. You spent Halloween. How many One Pieces did you see for Halloween? I saw a ton. Yeah. I saw a lot of One Piece. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of Avatar: Last Airbender. Oh. I saw a ton of manga and anime Halloween costumes.
Yeah, more and more.
On American kids, on Caucasian kids, on Black kids, on Latino kids. I saw that stuff.
By the way,
2 weeks nights ago on Halloween. Yes,
they are progressive. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that diversity is a reality in life for them. It's a no-brainer. It's a non-thought. And I'm really proud of the fact that even though we're authentically Wuxia, by the way, this is just our first chapter.
Yeah.
We are working on the next iteration, you know, with everybody's help. I hope that we will successfully blow out this turn the page on superheroes and get to the next chapter. I'm working on a next generation of black heroes, you know, white Great. Heroes, Latino heroes.
Oh, I hear that from the Latinos. Let's hear it for the Latinos.
Hey, absolutely. They're all coming in the next generation of the Immortal Storyverse. So we're diving into, and 85% of our readers and fans are not Asians. So I'm really proud.
That's an aggressive number, Paywan. That's an aggressive number.
Impressive number, but that happens to be real. So I think fans are ready. It didn't take a big leap. Frankly, it's a lot of people who aren't really connected to the real realities of where the marketplace is at. They're the ones who are hemming and hawing. And look, I wanted to call it out right now is that multinational corporations should not be dictating the future of culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another reason to turn the page on superheroes. I don't think Disney or Warner Brothers or these multinational corporations should determine what we should think or care about.
Well, it's their stockholders, and they're satisfying these stockholders, but they're doing
There is a founding principle of it. I think in architecture, sure. whatever, like the soundness of the functionality, like I think they've mined it for as much as they can, and now they're just sure. now, frankly, they're culturally appropriating.
Yeah,
and how can we get a piece of this? How can we get a piece of that? How can we get a piece of this? And how do we try to, like, but then
how can we fit it into our formula, like the Ford assembly line?
How do we keep it in there? And like, but ultimately, it's like, what does this universe stand for? And the other, my big thing is like, look, we are living in a very complicated, challenging time right now. You know it, and I know it, and all of our watchers know it. Our world is very complicated, and our existence is increasingly more complicated. So there's two schools of thought. Do you want to go through it with empowerment, with ideas, with things that really, really nurture you and that respect you, that reflect you, and that has you your best interest in mind, or something that's just like trying to take you out of it and try to bring you into another intergalactic battle that, you know, doesn't really make sense, doesn't really bear any kind of return for you. I mean, there's a little time for everything, but when...
Sure, but there's not growth. You're talking about growth.
Yeah, it's more about that rather than the former. It's just that I think pop culture, I think, has served its purpose. I think I talked to so many people, myself included, is like, oh man, Wolverine helped save my life, you know, or... you know, name your hero. So I get for those things. Now it's like their job is kind of done. I talked to my friend Jeff Gomez a lot. You know, you mentioned the word transmedia, and we agree that what's missing is not, oh, whether heroism is important. It's like, but how do you become heroes? What's that sauce? What is that process other than radioactive spiders? You know, what are the psychological, what are the emotional, you know, what are the different things that actually create heroism, and how do we inspire that? Because our mission at Immortal, you know, the Wuxia stuff, all of that stuff is great and it's amazing. That's a genre, but it comes down to a very simple thing. It's like, how do we use our stories to help activate people to become the version of themselves that they would be super proud of?
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a place for Miles Morales and a young Puerto Rican Dominican or black kid. I think there's a place for that. You know, clearly a lot of African American people saw themselves in Black Panther when that hit the screens because it made $1 billion.
Right.
And this stuff is huge. But to me, and this is going to sound terrible, folks, but the narrative of that movie is the first Thor film where, you know, your half brother takes the throne and you got to get it back. And, you know, that was the first Thor film, but it was, you know, it's Shakespeare, but it's reskinned with Black Panther. Well, and what you're talking about is brand new stories. You're talking about brand new stories. Right.
I mean, you know, my name on Instagram is Ancient Futurist, and that's kind of my vibe. So in a way, like, we are taking these ancient Wuxia back to the founding ideals, mm-hmm. even turning the page on Bruce Lee and all the Wuxia stories, because I think many of them have also lost their way. because they were made with kind of borrowing some of the ideas, but not really hewing the spirit of these ideas and practices in that knowledge. So, mm-hmm. so part of it is we're going back to the ancient ideals while leaning into the future. So yes, technology is part of it, and modernity is part of it, and modern problems and challenges and exciting things like technology is also part of it. So it's really bringing it all together. So it's new, it's ancient, and they're not conflicted. And that's kind of the, you know, an interesting way of looking at it.
Well, Immortal Studios. So you're not just doing comics. You're doing other things. And I want to talk about next week's event. I've got a graphic here, Geekscapes. And again, go on Kickstarter and look for Immortal Studios. The next couple of pillars, the extensions of the pillars that are here now, the next couple of titles, you can follow Immortal Studios and you'll be right there at the starting line for the next campaigns. But you've got this thing over here next week. This is Immortal Shaolin, the past, present, and future of Kung Fu, a live on-stage activation. Talk about freaking transmedia. You've got your own on-stage like activation in Geekscape. If you go to bit.ly/Immortal Shaolin, if you're here in Los Angeles, this is happening downtown Sunday, November 12th.
We're going to sell out, people. So if you're getting it now, you should get a ticket because we are doing something that's never happened before.
What is this?
100 year of Shaolin, because the Shaolin Abbot is actually coming out for this.
Okay.
They've actually partnered with this new startup, and it's given the opportunity, frankly, the honor to help refashion this activation. So all of these different ideas that I'm sharing with you is the future of Kung Fu. We talked about the yogic origins. We talked
about. Am I going to see people floating around?
I'm sorry?
If I go to this thing, Peihuan.
Yes.
And I do plan on going to this thing next Sunday. I would love to go to this thing. Am I going to, you know, I get my popcorn, I get my drink, I come here to see this show. Am I going to be seeing people flying around?
You will. Well, you're going to see pound for pound some of the best kung fu ever.
Get out of town. I'm going to be seeing people flying around.
Well, not flying. Look, I mean, you're going
to
be.
Talk to me. I want to see some crouching tiger.
These are real photos. These are real photos. Like I'm not going to, you know, string people flying around, but you're going to see some aerial things. These pictures. In fact, these monks that you see on this picture are actually going to be there.
Oh, I can't wait. I got to go.
These are the Shaolin monks from the ancient mountains, from the Chinese mountains. These are not your neighborhood dojo guys.
Peihuan, did you know my brother was a WWE wrestler, and I went to see wrestling this past weekend. I went to two wrestling shows. I saw a lot of people flying around, but they were doing body slams on each other. Yeah. It's not going to be like this. This is going to be beauty and acrobatics, and this is going to be like ballet almost, right?
Well, look, this is the real stuff. You're going to see death-defying things. You're going to see spears. Like you're going to see Har Qi going.
What?
I didn't get a chance to talk about
Fa Shen. What is that? What did you just say? I'm a Westerner.
So like. The question that Fa Sheng asked is like, well, how far does it go? Like, come on, like this, we're going to see death defying acts. You're going to see like blades not being able to penetrate your skin. You're
going
to see
spears,
you know, tucked in your neck where you're going to be by holding your chi and focusing on that place, make this little soft baby spot impenetrable to a spear. These are some of the things. Yes.
Hey, Juan, get out of town. Like, I'm sorry, but that's when like I start becoming like the Western closed-minded cynic. Like when I remember a friend of mine, she was big into yoga, and she's like, I've seen the levitation. And I was like, I can't believe you're gonna make me believe next weekend. Is that what you're telling me?
Look, I'm not gonna make you do anything. I'll show you some things and you can tell me. And by the way, this is achievable. That's the thing. The message of this is like, yes, they're really amazing people, but is when you bring your mind, body and mind together and work on it, you can become a hero. You can do extraordinary things. You may not become an immortal this lifetime, but the point is you're already immortal because your soul is immortal. So that's almost like the point is moot.
I'm being a little devil's advocate with you.
Please.
But my therapist says a cloud never dies. Do you understand that phrase? Yeah. Like when the water from a cloud.
The transmutation of energy from one source to another.
Assuming I was telling somebody last night that we're all space dust, and we all know that we're all space dust. And so I think Immortal Studios is a beautiful, not only just as a a testament to your father in your bloodline, your lineage, but also your culture and your influences. And I think that a river is actually a very, a very appropriate metaphor to what y'all are doing here. And a river also spreads, right? When a river finds itself up against an obstacle, it finds its way around it, and it sometimes spreads as it crosses the terrain. And you're spreading this message and this really, it's motivational. You're spreading this from comics. You're doing this live stage production, which I got to be there. I got to be there with my popcorn and my soda. I got to see this stuff for myself. And I don't need to have popcorn and soda. I probably shouldn't.
Popcorn and soda, but maybe
you'll be serving up spears and acrobatics.
Some pretzels and tea, maybe.
Okay. And then you've got, and then what are some of the other things Immortal Studios is doing beyond that? I mean, and we haven't even talked about the fact, and I'm not sure if this is still part of the roster, but Pop Harris, who was part of DC and Marvel all through the 90s.
Yes.
Like, he was editor-in-chief of these major...
He was.
The top two. He was a part of your company.
He still is. We have an A-team. I'm really proud of our extraordinary leaders.
So Geekscape, this isn't just like some Kickstarter comic book company. Like Bob Harris, major part of DC and Marvel. During the 90s, like he was a major part of those companies.
He was largely responsible for a lot of the successes of X-Men. In fact, he's helping us launch our teenage hero sub-universe, tentatively called Project Immortal. That's going to be our next property. So,
and why not? He was a major part of the X-Men cartoon show.
Yes. We're learning a lot of what has happened before to help us make new ground. I remember in our last meeting, and I said, hey, Bob, I appreciate it. I love everything that you've done. Just know that I'm not trying to do them again.
Sure. You don't want to do new class or any of that stuff. You don't want to do Batman and his various Robins.
We don't need to do stuff that doesn't need fixing, but we are focused on this stuff. So it's just like, bring in the next chapter. So we have a great team and... I just want to reaffirm our lifelong commitment to comics. So, but beyond comics, my background was as a movie producer, amongst many things. You know, I've had a chance to do many different things. So we're actively looking at developing movies from the Immortal Storyverse. Games are also part of the mix, but not in a big hurry to do them. But, it emerges naturally when these things, it's like making nice wine. It takes a little bit of time to getting it right. Sure. And we believe in also talking to our fans. So we're building our community and giving fans a stake, a real seat at the table. I can tell you for certain that every iteration of our stories have already improved because of fan input. You know, this scene or this character didn't really make sense. Oh, well, that's really interesting that you had that reaction. We love this thing. So those things are kind of part of the mix. So it's not just talking to the fans and dictating to them, but having the real, not just one seat, but many seats. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is really how you build a real community or a movement. So awakening the hero in everybody is not just our job. It's something that we're doing in concert with our fans. And I'm just super thankful for the thousands of people who've become part of this initial crew, because without their support, could not be here today. And we could not continue to do the things we do if people didn't support this next campaign, because it's all data driven. And quite honestly, we need those resources to go to print. Mm-hmm. It's not like Disney's writing me a check.
I want to reiterate to you, Geekscapists, that you can go to Kickstarter right now, search for Immortal Studios. You'll find this notification where you can just click on it. It'll notify you when it launches. But it's this brand new initiative that they're going to be starting up for the next phase of the Adept Assassin G, Immortal Swordsman, and Fasheng. Those are the four pillars that they've already launched. So you want to get the next phase. You want to see what Immortal Studios is all about. That's a pretty great place to follow them, is to start following them as a project creator. And also immortal-studios.com is a good place to see what Pei Huan and company have been working on. I think it's awesome. It really inspires me. I want to come down to Immortal headquarters and just like,
please do
a note session. I want to see what everything you guys got going on. I want to see what's under the hood. I want to see what you guys are working on, because just looking at your website, it just looks awesome. Geekscapists, if you go to that immortal-studios.com, you'll see all of the four pillars already in print. You can order them there with various covers. And there's some video clips. There's some various pieces of media. But yeah, y'all are leading with comics, which again, like you said, with the community, has the most immediacy in getting you feedback and finding out what's going on. But I love what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Comics are my favorite medium for that very reason.
We can take risks. We can be daring. We can be original. We could just, you know, do things that you wouldn't be able to do, that movies or videos would be rather unforgiving in a way.
Sure. Well, Pei Huan, we're going to do that pretzel and the tea.
Let's do it.
Pretzel and tea. We're going to do a note session. I want to see everything you guys are working on.
To Immortal Shaolin next weekend.
Okay.
At the Million Dollar Theater. This is November 12th, Sunday, from 2 to 4. For people who are listening right now, because I do expect that we're going to sell out. We only have 2,000 seats, and we obviously don't have 2,000 available now. So if you're getting it here first, and I just wanted to thank all of your guests and you, Jonathan, because this is my first this is my first kickoff.
Really?
Yes.
And you wasted it on me?
I have not talked openly about the turning the page. And I'm really, really thankful to be with somebody so knowledgeable.
I love this.
And you started with Zoo Warriors, man. So mad respect.
Oh my God. Zoo Warriors and that all the Shaw Brothers stuff is so important to me.
This is the warm up, and we're not just turning the page on superheroes, we're turning the page on Shaw Brothers too. Because
this is something I wanted to do.
It's a whole new chapter.
I'll tell you guys some stories, but like in 2007, 2008, when I was writing the Raw versus SmackDown games over for THQ, now defunct video game company, but obviously Raw versus SmackDown, those games continue. But when I was writing those things, they offered me a job and they said, Jonathan, come in. They had me pitch on something, and it's been a long time. So I think I can talk about it now, but I had written a pitch on a WWE Online. And the idea of this was taking something like a World of Warcraft, but having an open world where obviously arenas exist and the wrestling rings exist, but also alleys exist and gyms exist and stores and malls and streets exist. And you could have feuds with other wrestlers in the ring. You could have them out on the street, but the things in the ring, the real events, the pay-per-views, the stuff that the WWE is known for, that stuff is where you get the real cred and make them real money that you can then use to improve your, and you can make factions. You could like team up with other online players to make factions the way that they used to in the WWE, where you'd have teams and things. And when THQ went away, I remember because they wanted to hire me. I just didn't want to drive to Agoura Hills every day. Geekscapists are screaming at me. They're like, what? You turned down a job in video games because you didn't want to sit in traffic? No, Geekscapists is like an hour and a half of traffic both ways.
Yeah.
My friend James Liu and I had just done When Ninjas Attack, which was a fun little silly series we did for Fox. And James is friends with Jackie Chan. And James Liu is actually in Big Trouble in Little China. He's in quite a bit of that movie. And I had shown him what is called WWE Online to me. And I was like, why don't we put this in the world of Kung Fu and Shaolin? Why don't we have people walk around temples and countrysides? Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of the one autograph I wanted to get at Comic-Con this year, Geekscapes. I'm going to hold it up here for you all, is right here, Stan Sakai with his Usagi Yojimbo. Wow. That was the most important thing I could have gotten. And I love Stan, but all of the stuff that I got from those Shaw Brothers movies and the Samurai movies and Seven Samurai and all the Kurosawa movies, that's all swimming in my head. And I was like, let's turn it into a video game.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but it's still sitting on my laptop. It's still sitting in my head.
Well,
and I still think it's a beautiful place to play stories in an entire universe. Well, and right here, Immortal Studios is doing it.
You're talking about the Immortal virtual world, which is something that's on the board for us right now. But again, it begins with the comics.
Starts with the comics. So I want you geeks to click on that Kickstarter.
It starts with these characters and it starts with the world because, and we have a chance to do it together.
I think you're doing it right.
Yeah.
I think you're doing it right. Peihuan, thanks for being a guest on Geekscape. And Geekscape is saying,
my honor.
I implore you again to go to Kickstarter, search for Immortal Studios, follow it, because you're going to want to find out when you can be a part of this. And it sounds like he's not just making stuff for the Eastern audience, but as you heard, the majority of Immortal Studios fans are not
Asians,
Asian Americans.
Look, I mean, we just make it for humans. We're making these stories for people. These stories exist. They happen to come from the East because there's a beautiful tradition that is kind of missing in the global conversation, and it's been missing or misaligned or appropriated or in pop culture. We're certainly changing that for everybody, because I think we're collectively ready for the next step. So wait no more, because we're here.
Well, Geekscape, not all of you are human. At least I don't think. I've been doing the show for 18 years. Every now and then somebody pops up and I'm like, are they really in the same DNA?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, us? But yeah, I don't know, but their eyes are a little far apart. I welcome Geekscape as many shapes and sizes. I love doing the show. Yeah. And if you've enjoyed my conversation with Peihuan, not NLP only check out the Immortal Studios stuff.
Yeah.
Don't just check out the Immortal Studios stuff. Also, like, follow Geekscape on all the socials and send me an email, jonathan@geekscape.net, and be like, hey, dude, shut up. Like, let your guest talk more. Or stop making dumb jokes. And we love it. Or send something complimentary. Like, we love the show, and share it with your friends and leave the reviews on the Apple Podcasts and the Spotify's and all that stuff. We do a show every week, and we've got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. Some of the people I've asked to be on the show just next week is like, how am I going to fit it all in? Especially since we got two of those Marvel releases coming up, and the Marvels and the end of Loki season 2. So we got a lot to talk about, Geekscapists, in the coming weeks as we walk up to LA Comic Con, where I think Peihuan will be. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be at LA Comic Con? We got
to
chill.
We hope to be there. We're talking about featuring a panel.
Well, I'm friends with the panel people.
Yes. And
Geekscape has, as of now, I think Geekscape has three panels I've submitted. Six panels total from the Geekscape team.
What did they decide, by the way? Because we were just having this conversation.
Peihuan, I think they've decided, but I think there's also possible panels that may fall through and be waitlisted. So I think that, you know, for this year, I think we got to talk about strategies where maybe adding you to panels, or talk about strategies to, like, get you into as some of the replacements for maybe panels that have fallen through. Right. That being said, I know they're still selling booths.
Yeah.
And Peihuan, like, I was Stan Lee's moderator. I helped Regina Carpinelli and that whole team help promote Geekscape or help promote LA Comic Con from year one. That is our hometown festival. I proposed to my wife on the main stage of LA Comic Con. Like, I got you, bro.
You did? Goodness.
Got you.
She's a geekette.
More so now that she married me, but no, she was the Trekkie in the family, and Geekscape, y'all were there for that. You saw Giancarlo Esposito from from Breaking Bad and Mandalorian and in Better Call Saul. You saw him as my wingman, hand me the ring that I used to propose to my wife, and that's what Geekscape's about. Like, you guys have been along for the ride.
Geek love story
this whole time. Oh my god, it's a geek life, and you're a part of it now. Peihuan, you're a part of this. I can't wait to go down there on Sunday and start jumping around. I'm kidding. Keep me away from that stage.
Yes, I'm a proud member of it. And look, I would love to continue this conversation at LA Comic Con.
Okay. Well, shoot me an email whenever you'd like, and I can try and see what we can do with LA Comic Con. But yeah, they've already confirmed a lot of the panels, but they haven't released them. And Geekscape is excited to release them. But we also have our charity coming up in December for Big Brothers Big Sisters. There's a lot, Geekscape, is coming down the pipe, but love you so much.
Maybe you can be the amplifier and champion. You know,
I'm working on it. That's what this is for.
Geekscape presents.
I love it. Peihuan, thank you so much. And Geekscape, we'll see you next week. All right. Peace and love. I do a dance until it stops.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.